Welcome to session two for workshop Character Before Platform, Guarding the Anointing by our presenter, Abdil Torres.
Thank you, Ariane. Everyone, thank you all for being here today. As Ms. Irina said, my name is Abdil Torres, and I serve here at the Mission Church as the worship director. And it's our honor, first of all, to host you today. And our prayer is that you will be refreshed and empowered to fulfill the calling of God on your lives. Amen. And before we start here, how many worship leaders do we have in the house today? All right, awesome. Awesome. Pastors, and musicians, vocalists. Awesome. That's great. Amen. And people just wanted to be in here. Yeah. That's great. Well, God bless you, and thank you for all that you do for the kingdom week after week. Right? It matters. So, character before platform, guarding the anointing. As leaders and ministers of the gospel, we can do nothing worthwhile without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the key word there is worthwhile, right? Because the reality is that we can do a lot in our own strength, but that's not what we're called to do. And the goal of this workshop is to remind us of this truth and to encourage us in pursuing righteousness, humility, dependence on the Spirit, and to walk in love as Christ modeled for us. So our key scripture for today, as you all have in your handouts, will be Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. And this is known as Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. And it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above, beyond, and all that we can ask, think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And sorry, I'm probably going to forget to do my my own slides here. So before we break down this scripture and how it applies to what we're going to be talking about today, let's talk about the anointing itself. All right, so we hear this word a lot in church, right? Usually when we're describing a preacher or a worship leader, right, we say, oh, he or she is so anointed, right? So what does the anointing mean biblically? And we have here in the Old Testament, the anointing was a physical act involving the smearing, rubbing, or pouring of sacred oil on someone's head or an object as an outward symbol that God had chosen and set apart the person for a specific holy purpose. So kings, priests, and prophets were anointed outwardly with oil to symbolize a more profound spiritual reality, that God's presence was with them and his favor was upon them. And we know Samuel famously anointed David, right, to be the king of Israel, and it represented that David was chosen by God to lead his people. And fast forward to the New Testament, right, we have the Messiah, Jesus, comes on the scene, and he is the anointed one. That is what Messiah means. He is the anointed one. He was the fulfillment. Amen. Luke 4, 18 through 19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And as believers, through Jesus Christ, we also receive the anointing of the Spirit. In 1 John 2:20, he writes to the church, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Therefore, the anointing is empowerment from the Holy Spirit that reveals to us the truth of Jesus Christ and enables us to be his witnesses. So we've all received the Lord's anointing when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now going back to Ephesians and Paul's letter, well, Paul's prayer, let's break this down a little bit. So in verse 14, it says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." So Paul makes an important reminder there. He starts by reminding us of our identity. Man. So the first step in guarding the anointing is that our identity must be in Christ.
Amen.
That we are children of the living God. John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name." Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us, who loved me, and gave himself for me." 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Our identity must be found in the reality that we have a heavenly Father who loves us, who's called us, and who's made a way for us to be reconciled back to him. Everything we do must come out of that identity. It can't be found in our gifting, in our ministries, or anything that we do for the Lord, right? If the platform is stripped away, are we secure enough in our relationship with him that our faith will not be shaken? Yeah. We have seen many leaders fall because somewhere along the way they allowed something else, whether it's popularity, money, the flesh, right, discouragement, to take root in their hearts, and they lose sight of their identity in Christ. Yeah. So the first step is we must be rooted in our identity in Christ. Romans 8:15-17, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testified together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." What a precious calling to be co-heirs with Christ. Amen. So moving on to verse 16, it says, "I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit." So the second step in guarding the anointing is to recognize and to seek the empowerment by the Spirit. We cannot do it ourselves. Amen. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit empowers us to accomplish his purpose, not our own, not to build our own platforms or make a name for ourselves, but to point to Jesus. He empowers us with spiritual gifts to equip us for ministry, according to 1 Corinthians 12, with spirit of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. There is purpose in all of it, and we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us with the fruit of the Spirit that we might reflect the nature and the character of Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He empowers us to live holy lives. This is so important, especially as leaders in the church. We're called to be above reproach. And if you stand on a platform on a Sunday morning, then guess what? You're a leader in the church, whether you have a title or a position, right? You're a leader in the church. and we're called to live above reproach. And that doesn't mean perfect or without sin, but it means that our lives are free from sinful habits or behaviors that would impede us from being a model of Christian life worth emulating. We don't have the luxury of saying, well, who cares what people think, right? It does matter, because they're looking at us and they need to see Christ in us. The only way we can do this is that we have to stay empowered. Amen. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, stay empowered? Stay empowered. And how do we do that, right? And this is kind of the Sunday school answers, right? It's our spiritual disciplines, right? We have our prayer, being in the Word, being in worship, abiding in the presence of the Lord. We can't take these things for granted, amen? We never reach a level in our walk with the Lord where these disciplines no longer matter. If anything, we need to be even more intentional about regularly practicing these spiritual disciplines. Because as Pastor Greg always says, higher levels, higher devils, right? It's not just a matter of self-discipline or behavior modification. The world can do that. There's tons of self-help books out there. But it's about not losing sight of our first love. When we regularly take time to fix our eyes on the beauty and the glory of Jesus, the fact that he's called us co-heirs with Christ, the fact that we are his children, right? Everything else pales in comparison. And we need to fix our eyes on that. Our spirit is strengthened to overcome the flesh and the attacks of the enemy when we are dependent on the Spirit. And also, we were Pentecostal, right? We believe in praying in the Spirit. We believe there is power in that. Sometimes you have to start praying in tongues. Amen? Amen. Sometimes, you know, Paul encourages us to do so in 1 Corinthians 14. It builds us up. We pray mysteries in the Spirit, right? And as leaders, we're usually the first ones here on Sundays, right? Bright and early, and we might be tired. Perfect time to pray in tongues, right? Sometimes on my way here in the morning, that's all I can do, right? It's just pray in tongues. And by the time I get here, my spirit is lifted. I'm ready to go. Amen? There's power in that. We have to believe, right, that there is power in the things that we profess. Amen? Can't do it in our own strength. Amen. And the next point I really want to drive home today, and if you get anything out of this today, let it be this. Verse 17, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, width, height, and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So the next step is we need to be rooted and firmly established in love. Love must be at the core of everything that we do. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, right? If I speak human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. We have to value people over production. Amen. The people on our teams, the people in the congregation, right? I feel like we need to talk more about how we can love people well, how we can genuinely love them and care about them, that they might have a personal encounter with the Lord. Amen. That they may grow in their experience of the gospel and their ability to worship the Lord. Amen. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love people. This can sound oversimplistic, but Love is at the root of the gospel. For God so loved the world, because of his great love for us, we've been made alive in Christ. And if Christ is our example, and everything we did came from a place of love, how can we be effective if we have no love? There are many out there who love the platform, love the music, love the performance, right? But they're not really crazy about the people, right? And that doesn't work.
I'm autistic, leave me alone. I do what God says.
By his grace, amen.
Amen.
And, you know, whether the set is done, the message was preached, right? I need to get to myself, right? But it's about the people, amen. It's about the souls that we've been called to minister to, amen. And we have to love one another. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is not reduced to what happens on the platform.
Right?
It's given to us to empower us in every area of our life. So how can we believe that the anointing can help us to lead, whether it's hundreds or thousands of people in worship and see the manifest presence of the Lord, or we can preach a message with great anointing and see people delivered, but we don't believe that it can help us to love people well? We can do it by his Spirit. It doesn't matter, right, what our personality traits might be, right? We have power to overcome those things. Amen. Loving others, preferring one another in love, gets our eyes off of ourselves. And that's important.
Amen.
That's important. Because getting our eyes off of ourselves, that leads us to the next point here. Amen. So verse 20. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's all for his glory. He is the one who is able, right? So the last step I want to talk about in guarding the anointing is you have to walk in humility. And Pastor Dave mentioned this briefly as well. And Jesus modeled it perfectly for us. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, it says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name. All power, all dominion, authority, it was all his. Yet he humbled himself. How much more should we? James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. In the kingdom, the way up is always down. Amen. We understand, again, that we can't do anything but by the grace of God. We must crucify pride and not allow it to take root in our hearts. And there's also spiritual pride, right? Which is the idea that positive spiritual outcomes can be obtained by our own gifts and our own strength. Part of walking in humility is understanding none of us are beyond falling into temptation. Whether it's pride, right? Whether it's sexual temptation, financial impropriety, whatever it might be, we have to walk circumspectly, taking every thought captive and bringing it into submission. Again, we can only do that by the Spirit of the Lord. And as we talked about earlier, the Spirit empowers us to overcome. we also have to be willing to accept correction, to own our mistakes, right? Not just privately, right, but publicly as well, right? Be accountable to the people around you. If you mess up, say you're sorry, right? Bring people around you, as Pastor Dave also mentioned, people around you who will speak truth into your life, amen? Mentors, fellow team members, other pastors, right, that will bring correction when needed, amen? And that will pray with you and encourage you when it's needed as well.
People over 45.
Amen. Amen. There's power in that. And another area as well is forgiveness. We have to be willing to forgive those who wrong us or that we feel have wronged us or maybe we've disagreed with, right? When we carry unforgiveness, it creates distance between us and God, right? The Bible says that unless you forgive, you will not be forgiven. And if we have been forgiven of much, who are we not to forgive others? So it's not worth carrying. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We have to be willing to humble ourselves and to walk in humility as Christ modeled so beautifully for us. So to kind of summarize a little bit here, right? The anointing empowers us to serve, to love, and to walk humbly. When we anchor ourselves in Christ, remain dependent on the Spirit, and guard our hearts with intentionality, the anointing becomes a conduit to bless others and to honor the Lord. Amen. It's truly a privilege to be in the positions that we're in, but we're no greater than any other position in the church, right? Whether it's the people serving in the nursery, whether it's the people serving in the cafe, right? We've all been given different gifts, but none of us are greater than anybody else. And we have to recognize that our mission, right, is to love the Lord and to love people and to see people come to the knowledge of Christ and use our gifts to build the kingdom and not ourselves. Amen. So I want to just give you a couple of scriptures of encouragement. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If God is for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Romans 8:37. So that is what I have for today. Amen. And wanted to be able to have a little time at the end if anyone has any questions or any comments or anything that they would like to say. Yes.
What is your greatest challenge?
My greatest challenge in ministry is to keep the main thing, right? Not get focused on the details, right? But to always remember to take time to step back and to just spend time with the Lord, right? That's the biggest thing. If we don't do that, then everything else is not important. So just making time for the Lord constantly.
A lot of this was very inward focused. Like, how can you guard the anointing?
Yeah.
What would you say would be like maybe one action step to take out of here to start to help cultivate all of these principles in volunteer team members?
That's a great question. And I would say the first thing is that culture, like you said, right, is what is the culture that is currently there? Is it a culture where there is prayer? Right? How are you guys praying together? Right? Is it a culture where there is times of worship where you're not necessarily just on the platform, right, leading worship, right? Is there times of fellowship? Are you guys getting together, getting to know one another, right? Spending time with one another, and just creating that culture of loving one another, right? And just having each other's backs and being a community, not just people who come together on Sunday to perform a task. Anybody else? Yes.
So this morning during the worship, there was somebody that I've held in my heart since last year. And I thought that I had forgiven this person because I didn't call the person, I didn't cuss them out, or, you know, like I didn't act like I was upset. Like I didn't show that I was upset. So as far as I was concerned, I wasn't upset. And so this morning during the worship, so I sing on the praise team, and then I also sing with a band. So singing is what I do. But this morning during the worship, I literally heard myself crying and saying, "Oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that had to have come from, one, the anointing that was in the room. And that also came from, because I'm on a 6-month spiritual fast. So I knew that God has been breaking my heart, even though I didn't realize that he's been doing that. But I noticed that there was such a heaviness that was lifted from me.
Praise God.
And I was wondering, how have I been ministering and singing this whole time with this person on my mind? You know, but this morning I was able to see the person the way that God sees the person. And once you see the person the way God sees the person, you can't be angry with them. You know, and so I know that my whole worship, my whole life has changed. And I think that really ties into guarding the anointing. You have to forgive to guard the anointing. If you're going to lead people, you have to forgive.
Amen. That's good. And the word says that the gifts of God are irrevocable, right? So we can operate with our gifts and still have these things in the spirit that we still have to deal with, that we still have to give to the Lord, right? And we can even be effective in ministry, but still have burdens and strongholds in our lives that need to be broken. So that's why it's important that we are regularly, right, seeking the Lord and asking him to search our hearts, right, and what are the things that we need to surrender to him. Yeah, that's great.
I heard one pastor put it this way. It's better to live for Jesus than to sing for Jesus.
Amen.
Meaning your heart, the condition of your heart must be right before you actually go on stage to sing.
Amen.
To lead people into worship.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
Really quick.
Yep.
What's the best scripture you could tell a leader, because this is a leadership summit, yes, that has fallen, to get them back?
Man.
Only one.
Well, I know, right? Listen, it's the gospel, right? It's the gospel for anyone, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that so whoever so believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in him, right, and he's faithful and just to forgive, right? So it's the gospel. You know, we don't ever outlive the gospel. So every day we have to get on our knees and thank the Lord. Amen. So
remind that leader of that.
Amen. That's it. I think we have like one more minute. Any other questions or anything? Good? All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.